Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. To everybody that's here on campus, those joining us online, we are so glad you have chosen to gather with us today. We have come here today to celebrate Jesus Christ. We want everyone to know that hope is here, everyone is welcome, and Jesus changes everything. You know, one of the tensions that many of us face during Christmas time is trying to find the perfect gift, right? Some of you right now are trying to encourage yourself that the gift that you have for your significant other or your child is the perfect gift. In fact, we desire at times that this perfect gift will give us that awe factor when it is opened, that we get that perfect picture. We want that perfect gift to several years down the road when your child or yourself look back. That's the gift that you want people to remember. For you, maybe it's a puppy dog. Maybe that's what you want for tomorrow. Maybe you just want your house clean. Who knows, right? Maybe you want the latest technology gadget. You want the Nintendo Switch or the PS5 or whatever it is these days. For others, you may want the latest cell phone. Speaking of cell phones, does anybody know what happened on December 3rd, 1992? Anybody? The first text message was received on December 3rd, 1992. Does anybody know what that phone was? Well, I'm going to show you. It's the Orbital 901. Let's see the picture of it. Where's it at? There it is. Look at that. That's 4.5 pounds of technology bliss, right? I mean, it comes with the convenient hand carrier, right? If your cell phone has a hand carrier, that's probably not a good sign. It's got the antenna, TV grade, right? So you can pick up all kind of channels. It's got the extension cord where you can go 6-8 feet. And if you need to go further, it looks like there's an extension cord on the back that looks like probably goes about 25 feet. You may notice at the very, very bottom that there is a spiral-bound book. That is the actual manual. So I'm here to tell you, if you get a manual that's spiral-bound, that probably means it can do a lot of things. But that phone back in 1992 received the very first text message. Does anybody know what that text message was? Here it is on the screen. Merry Christmas. That was it, right there. So that's your Jeopardy trivia for tonight. But the reality is, many of us do feel the tension of trying to find that perfect gift. So much so that in the year 2018, for the very first time in human history, the retail revenue during the holiday, Christmas holiday, went over $1 trillion. $1 trillion. Now, I know many of you, like myself, can't comprehend $1 trillion. Well, if you were to count out $1 per second, it would take you over 31,000 years to count $1 trillion. I know, you got time, right? When do we start? When do we start counting? But we have this tension of trying to find the perfect gift for the right person. Well, if you would join with me tonight, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 4. That really tells us about the perfect gift. You see, Christmas is when God interrupted humanity with His grace. Christmas is this great interruption when God changed everything. It's when light entered into darkness. It's when hope entered into despair. It's when grace entered into sin. When peace interrupted chaos. Christmas is when God sent His perfect gift. This perfect gift was sent 2,000 years ago. When Jesus was born in a Bethlehem stable. But it is the same perfect gift that you and I need today. And why is Jesus God's perfect gift? Well, look at what the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons." So what are the things that we see in this passage that reveal to us that Jesus is God's perfect gift to us? Well, one, we know that Jesus came at the right time. Jesus came at the right time. And in fact, at the perfect time. The Scripture says, when the fullness of time had come. This means when Jesus came at the right time, we must realize that God is never early. He's never late. He is always right on time. The phrase fullness of time is used in Scripture to describe that moment when a woman is ready to give birth to her unborn child. Now, I've never given birth before, thank the Lord. But I do know from the birth of my children that there is a time, there's a moment when my wife says, It's go time, right? And guess what? When she says it's go time, it is go time. My wife has a way of recognizing where somebody is in their pregnancy as well. She'll see a woman and she says, she's about ready. I can't tell if a woman is 3 months pregnant or 9 months pregnant. And just a word of wisdom, don't ever ask a woman when she's due, because the response may not be the one that you expected, right? Don't do that. But when Jesus entered into creation, in Luke 2, the scripture tells us that when the time had come, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. That is the moment that all of human history had been yearning for and waiting for. At that moment, Jesus came at the right time. Why was it the perfect time? Well, a couple reasons. One, when you think about culturally, the Roman Empire, there was a common language. There was also common roads. When you think about politically, the Roman Empire pretty much had world domination. Now, that was good if you were part of the Roman Empire, as far as you agreed with them, you thought like them, but for those who didn't go on that bandwagon, it wasn't a great time, because there was a time of oppression, great oppression during this time. Theologically, the law had done what the law came to do. The law came to remind us and to show us that we can't make it. We can never meet God's standard. Therefore, we need a Savior. Spiritually, it was the right time, because at this moment in time, there was a spiritual hunger for truth. And so that's when Jesus came to this earth. But we also know that Jesus came in the perfect way, not just in the perfect time, but the perfect way. The scripture says that God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So Jesus came as 100% God. That's what it means when it says God sent forth his son. You see, the birth of Jesus is not the beginning of Jesus. There will be some that will say that when Jesus was born, he was a man that somehow became God. That is not true at all. Jesus had always been God. He had just chosen to become a man. In the scripture, when it talks about that God sent forth his son, it's telling us that God was sent on a mission. Jesus is the only one qualified to fulfill the mission. And we're going to talk about that mission in just a moment. But not only did Jesus come as 100% God, he also came as 100% man. He was born just like you and I. It says born of a woman. This makes Christmas extraordinary, right? The creator of the heavens and the earth comes to his creation in the form of a baby. The fact that Jesus never stopped being God reminds us that he chose to lay aside the privileges of being God by becoming a man. He became one of us. He experienced many of the same things that you and I experience today. He experienced ridicule and rejection, abandonment and criticism. He slept, he ate, he laughed, he cried. He experienced family drama, right? He experienced friend drama. He experienced work drama, all those different things. But the scripture also tells us that Jesus is 100% righteous. The scripture says that he was born under the law. You see, Jesus was born under the same standard of perfection that you and I are born into. God's standard of perfection. And yet Jesus did what you and I could never do. He lived a perfect life. Though he was tempted in every way, just like you and I are tempted, he never sinned. So through all the ridicule, through all the rejection, through all the times of abandonment and criticism, when he went to sleep, when he ate, when he laughed, when he cried, when he handled family drama, work drama, and friend drama, guess what? There was no voice of sin. There was no thought of sin. There was no action of sin in Jesus. Now that's pretty remarkable. You see, Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of God in every way. And so Jesus is God's perfect gift because he's 100% God, he's 100% man, and he is 100% righteous. He came at the perfect time. He came in the perfect way. But we also find in this scripture that he came to show God's perfect love. This is the reason why God sent Jesus on this rescue mission. The scripture says, beginning in verse 5, he came to redeem those who were under the law. So this is God's divine purpose in his son, Jesus Christ. We are all under the law, right? And because we are all under the law, because we don't meet God's perfect standard, we all stand condemned. We all stand guilty before God. We have sinned. We have missed the mark. But Jesus came to redeem us. That word redeem is a beautiful word. It means to buy us back. It means to purchase us back. All of us by birth are born in bondage, held captive to our very own sin. We are by birth dominated by sin. And as a result, we are enemies of God. And that's important for us to realize. We don't want to talk about that. We want to think about God as all loving, but that is true. But God is also judge. And so we stand condemned. We stand guilty. We need someone who can pay the price. Someone who was qualified to pay the price for your sin and my sin. Someone who is 100% God. Someone who is 100% man. And someone that is 100% righteous. And that person is who? The one and only Jesus Christ. The baby in a manger grew up to be the man on the cross who died for the sins of the world. Jesus was born under the law. He lived under the law, kept the entire law, something we can never do, and he paid the price that breaking the law requires. He sacrificed his own self. That's the Savior that we worship today. That's the Savior that we celebrate on Christmas. And Jesus did this, why? So that we might receive adoptions as sons. That word adoption is a beautiful word. It means to be a part of a family to which we originally did not belong. And because of our sin, the sin that we're born into, right, we're separated from God. That relationship does not exist. In other words, we're not children of God when we enter this world. And yet, by the redemption of Jesus, right, the fact that he purchased the penalty and the payment of our sin, we have now the opportunity to become children of God. And how does that happen? It happens through faith. Faith in Jesus means your sins are forgiven. Yes, praise the Lord. But it also reminds us that we are adopted into his family. The family in which we once did not belong to, we now belong to. We have a new family. We have a new identity. We're new creatures in Christ. We have a new heavenly Father. That means there's an end to all the striving. That tension that we talked about trying to find the perfect gift, is only the surface. Beneath that surface is the tension and the prying of trying to live the perfect life, to be just good enough, to meet the approval of the people in your own family, to meet the approval of the person sitting next to you, to satisfy the inner voice that is inside of all of us, that when the lights go off and you're by yourself in your bed, should have done more. Should have done more. Listen, when you are adopted into the family of God, not by your performance, but by Christ's performance, you always have a place called home. You always have a seat at his table. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the one who came at the right time, who came in the right way, and who came to demonstrate the love of God. The perfect gift means hope for you. That's what that means today. The perfect gift means hope for you today. Now, you may be sitting here and saying, you know what? Right now is not the perfect time. I'm a young college student. I'm a high school student. I got too many things on my plate. I'll get around to it one day. For others, you may be saying, you know what? The circumstances aren't right. I mean, if anybody were going to say the circumstances aren't right, people living in 2020, right? And maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I've never experienced anything remotely close to perfect love. You don't know my family environment. You don't know the relationships that I've been in. Listen, you're right, I don't know. But here's what I do know. God's timing is always right. His way is always best. And his love is always perfect. And if that is the message that God is speaking to you today, it's time to respond to him in faith. Just like any gift, it must be received, right? And when we think about the perfect gift of Christmas, the fact that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, for you, the whosoever's of the world, for you and all your brokenness and all your toil and all your struggle, it's received in the same way. Faith. That's the only way to receive that perfect gift. To receive it in faith. And I pray that's where you are today. And so at this time, I'm going to just say a word of prayer over us. And I pray that God would open your eyes to your need for him. And that by faith, you will receive him as your Lord and Savior. So join with me as we pray. Lord, we come to you today. And we say thank you. Thank you for the incredible story of Christmas. A story that started in your heart before creation. A story that continued even when sin entered the world. And a story that was revealed to us when Jesus came to this earth. Lord, we are so thankful that we celebrate the perfect gift during Christmas. Not because somebody put it under a tree and wrapped it real nice in a pretty package, but because the baby who was born in Bethlehem stable, who grew to be a man, a perfect man, willingly, obediently, with tremendous humility, gave his life on a cross, so that the whosoever's of the world, by grace through faith, may be saved. And so, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would go before us today, that there would be one or many here tonight on campus or joining with us online who for the very first time realize that they have a need for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would remind us that though our life is far from perfect, though timing always seems to be in disagreement, and circumstances are very rarely ideal, that's why Christmas brings us great hope. Because we see in Christmas a God who loves us perfectly, loves us unconditionally, and loves us eternally through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so I pray tonight would be the night that you would give your life to Jesus Christ, that your sins would be forgiven, that you would be adopted into his family, and the purpose that he created you for, you now will live in, the peace that only he can give to us. In the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here tonight or joining with us on campus and that is a decision that you have made, we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to partner with you. If you just have questions about this one named Jesus, if you're on campus right after our services, you can go to our Next Step area. It's right by the lighthouse in our main gathering area. We'd love to talk with you. If you're joining with us online, there's a connection card online. We'd love to connect with you as well. The reality is that we live in a dark time, but guess what? When sin entered the world, there was always a realm of darkness. But yet Jesus came as the light of the world to shine his light, his glory, into a world that desperately needs him. And so as we join together, as we sing these next two songs, we're going to have an opportunity to light our candles. If you have a young child with you, please do your very best to keep them as safe as possible. But we are going to join together and just be reminded of the light of the gospel that we have, the light of the gospel that goes with us when we leave this building, the light of the gospel that goes into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, to remind us that hope is here. Everyone is welcome. And Jesus changes everything.